Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week 4 of the NFL season and time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes to you every week by these great sponsors, and that's Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, and the United States Marine Corps. Well, you kind of got a condensed crew here today. It's just myself and this guy. Go ahead, Lyle.
It's Lyle Dickman here, celebrating a big fantasy victory over Justin Havemeyer, defending league champion, who, like 99% of all fantasy owners, had Devon Achane, I guess is what we're going to call it now.
Yeah.
No, Achane. And he had him on the bench, but I would have beat him anyway. So it was a good week for my crew.
I had a chance to finally get off the schneid, Lyle. It seems like every year this happens to me, and I'm sick of it. 0-2. This year, it was 0-2. And I ran into Odin's Kings of Metal. And finally, this lineup did what it was supposed to do, thanks to Ja'Marr Chase actually catching a couple passes and Jalen Hurts being Jalen Hurts. It was all right. So we're 1-2 now up against Klinghagen this week. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, for the next hour, Lyle and I are going to be talking about things in the world of fantasy football. Our goal is, of course, to help you win your league. So if we can help you in any way, shape, or form, give us a question on that Loon text line. It's 320-434-1234. Let's talk about the injury report right now. And I've kind of condensed that as well. Derek Carr, in your two quarterback leagues, or maybe your deeper leagues, right now I'd say he's about a 50-50 chance. Some people are saying AC joint sprain on right shoulder. Watch out, it might be Jameis Winston time. I did that last week, Justin Tucker starting at running back for the Tampa Bay. Anyway, Patrick Mahomes got his ankle rolled up on, and, I would say he's about 85%. It was Patrick Mahomes. He was playing the Bears. I think he was out there longer than he probably should have. Saquon Barkley still nursing that high ankle sprain, which is becoming just a devastating injury in the world of the NFL. I don't see him out there for week 4. Jimmy Garoppolo, again, this is deeper league play only or two quarterback league play only. He's in concussion protocol, 50-50 chance at the time we are talking right now. Austin Eckler, probably a chance for him to return in week 4. And people who have been starting Josh Kelly, me being one of them, have been a little disappointed with that performance going on. It'd be nice to have Eckler back out on the field. Gus Edwards, concussion evaluation. I don't see him playing week 4 at all.
Yep.
Mike Williams, ACL tear in the game against the Vikings. Oh, boy. Out for the year, no doubt about it. Get this. I traded Mike Williams to Klinghagen, and I don't regret this trade at all. I traded Raheem Mostert to Klinghagen for Mike Williams. I needed a receiver. He needed a running back. And Williams did just fine for me for the 2 weeks I had him, and now I don't have him. It's just one of those deals. Anyway, Justin Fields moving on. Chicago Bears. It's relevant. He's startable this week. We'll talk about that later on. Anyway, he was wobbling all over the field. DJ Moore had to get him off the field, and then they put him back in the game, and the Chiefs had the game in hand by far. That was a strange, strange situation. David Montgomery, he'll probably be back on the field for the Lions. And Travis Kelce, he had a little knee tweak, you know, but he's still at 75%. And thank goodness for all you Swifties who have now showed up to watch this game with the magic brown bean that you didn't know about that was out there. Lyle, it is week 4 of the fantasy football season. We got a couple minutes to talk about. Lyle, anybody on your squads who you had really high hopes for? It's panic button time. It's you got 1 week left time before it's cut you. What's happening with your teams?
Probably any Chicago Bear that you may have drafted. I mean, you mentioned Fields already. He's squabbled with the media about how the coaching staff is running things and how he's robotic out there. And then he wobbles around on the field for that hit that somehow he managed to get back on the field for. So I him, DJ, I have DJ Moore. What do you do with him? I mean, he did get a touchdown to salvage a decent fantasy week, but he's been pretty useless for him. And they have the Herbert and Roschon Johnson running back tandem that can't get started to begin with. So those are guys. And I'll throw this one out there too. Alexander Mattison. I know he had a pretty good week, but there's been some talk about his fumbling issues, and now they've brought in Cam Akers. So I would imagine if Mr. Mattison throws one on the ground one more time that we'll be seeing a lot more of Cam Akers.
I think Cam Akers is just a insurance policy. At least that's what I'm hoping for. As a guy who manages Madison in a couple of leagues, I hope he can get it figured out. The workload is there for him, but I understand what you're talking about. I'll throw out some names. Daniel Jones. We all had high hopes for him being a dual threat, and the Giants had a good year last year, and here we go. Let's get something in play. Daniel Jones is benchable and possibly even cuttable. Rashad White not doing anything near what I expected this year, and he's got some tough defenses coming up for him. Sam Howell was a great two quarterback pick, in my opinion. The guy is about to set the record for how many times the guy gets sacked. I think he's taken 18 sacks in three games. How about Drake London? Oh, Arthur Smith. Now I'd love to chop it up with Jack about what's going on with Atlanta. Jahan Dotson is another one. Nothing is happening. But then again, I just talked about Sam Howell and what's going on there. I expected more out of Brandon Cooks. But we talked a little bit about it off air. Dak Prescott, marginally good, and things just aren't. Well, Dallas just took a terrible loss to the Cardinals, who are trying to lose football games. Oh, anyway. You go ahead.
Oh, those are some good ones. I was going to say that, you know, any Denver Bronco, too. I mean, people were talking about a Russ Wilson resurgence. I know Javonte Williams got back on the field, but he gets like 12 carries and doesn't do anything with them. And it looks like the Mims guy is pretty much the best receiver out of the bunch, and they get him the ball like two or three times every game. So, yeah, anything Denver-related is kind of tainted right now, too.
Yeah, Sean Payton, what's going on? All right. Well, we've just begun here on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Lyle and I are going to come back and talk waiver wire. We're going to talk about daily fantasy news and strategy. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it's time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. I assure you, no one told you to grab yourself a little Devon Achane last week, so we all missed that one. In fact, as Lyle, I think, said earlier, he was on everybody's bench in normal fantasy football as well. So will that change? Well, we'll see. Anyway, Lyle, week four, talk to me about quarterback plays you got out there. Give me a couple.
At the top, you got some tough defensive matchups, you know, like Mahomes going against the Jets. Allen's got a tough matchup with Miami, so vice versa with Tua, too. So I'm going to look to save a little money. I'm going to play C.J. Stroud, $5,600. He's throwing the ball 40 times a game, so there's volume there. He's been getting 19, almost 20 fantasy points per game. Mm-hmm. He's getting a mediocre Pittsburgh team, so for $5,600, I like him. And if you're going real bargain, either the combo of Bryce Young or Andy Dalton, I'm not sure if Young's going to return or not, but they're at $5,200 and $5,100 respectively. But Dalton just came off a 58 pass attempt game for 300 some yards, and they're taking on the Vikings. So if you're looking for a real cheap quarterback option, I like one of the Carolina guys.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Russ Wilson. Boy, I'll tell you, and we will get to it in Trenchum and Benchum, Lyle, but what a treat the NFL has given us. Sadly, we won't be able to watch it tomorrow, and I'll be breaking it down. But Denver versus Chicago, thanks for that. In the power rankings, 31 and 32. Anyway, I do see a little play here with Russ Wilson. Why? Because he's taking on that stacked Chicago defense that held Mahomes to 41 points in the first half. Anyway, $5,800 for Russ. He's averaging about 21.5 DK points per game. It's just such a weak matchup that I don't mind it. Now, my man, I guess we got to see what happens tomorrow and if he's suiting up. But don't go past Jameis Winston at $5,300 going up against Tampa Bay. I don't mind that play one bit either. If you need to save some money and you've got a real gambler mentality, old Jameis might might make your day. We'll see. But I do like the Andy Dalton call. If he suits up, you're exactly right. 5,100 against the Vikings. That's a nice play there. Couple running backs.
I'm just excited that Jameis makes a return to the show.
Oh, man.
Every year. Jameis can be played somehow, some way. Maybe not in a straight up 10-team fantasy league, but DFS, he could be a play for sure.
I just had a big smile on my face, Lyle. Not that I want to see anybody get injured. That had nothing to do with that. But when you know that there could be a Jameis Winston sighting, that's a good thing for football, period. What do you got for running backs this week?
Cream of the crop is CMC. No, everybody knows that, and he's got a great matchup. But, I mean, really, if you're looking to save a few bucks, I think the best bargain this week would be DeAndre Swift. $5,700 on DraftKings. He's coming off back-to-back 100-yard games. Really, he's had 300-plus yards these last two games. And I don't think this Philadelphia passing attack is all synced in yet. And they are going to feed Swift and probably a little Gainwell. So I like Swift a lot. And I do think Derrick Henry is due for a big bounce back. And this is as low as you're going to get him for price. I think he's at $7,000. And Cincinnati's given up the third most rush yards in the league per game, too. So it's a decent matchup and a good price.
Yeah, the Derrick Henry thing is a little concerning because he's getting out-snapped by Tajay Spears. And I don't know if they're saving him up to keep tread on the tires because typically December is Derrick Henry month in the NFL. So I don't know what's going on there, and I just don't know what's going on in Tennessee, period. But you're right, you'll never get him cheaper than that. Some value plays that I've got is Jerome Ford taking on Baltimore. You can pick him up for $5,400 there. Damian Pierce has been a little bit of a disappointment for you if you're managing him this year. But they're taking on Pittsburgh, and that's about 29th ranked when it comes to running defenses. And so the game script should be better in that game. And Damian Pierce coming off the board at $5,100. I don't mind a little Jaylen Warren. I think the Jaylen Warren train is about to leave the station. Najee Harris just is not good. I don't know if he's not good anymore, if he just had one good year. But Jaylen Warren is out snapping him, getting the better touches. $5,000, can't beat that at all. And, you know, if you want to try the Devon Achane again and stuff, you just can't. I mean, he's $5,700. They are taking on Buffalo. That's a mediocre defense when it comes to running. Just don't expect what happened last week. I just can't imagine that happening again. Wide receivers, Lyle, what do you got?
For me, these were the easiest ones to go through. There were three that jumped out at me, and I'm going to give you all three.
Good.
Devontae Adams at $8,000, coming off a big week against the L.A. Chargers, who are giving up 300 and almost 50 yards passing per game. I can't see that really stopping anytime soon. So Adams is a great play for the week. And then I got two bargain plays. One I could not believe was still at this price. Tank Dell,
yeah,
$4,600 after back-to-back big weeks. And so I'm pairing him with Stroud in a lineup. I just can't believe his value didn't go up much over after last week's 145 yards and one touchdown game. And then the other one is Adam Thielen.
Mm-hmm.
He had 14 targets, 11 catches, 145 yards going against the Vikings, and he's still at $4,600.
Yep.
Suit him up.
Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that. I'll throw out some value plays here, too. We're talking about Tank Dell. We're talking about Nico Collins, another guy who's getting targets out in Houston. My man, Robert Woods, he got 6 targets last week. Yeah, 3 receptions, 34 yards. It really wasn't that huge of a week, but he is... He's one of these guys that you want to draft in your GPPs who's going to be under like 4% ownership, who could possibly blow up. Nobody owns him, and then you rake in the big money. Robert Woods, only $4,300. And I've got another name that just hasn't really been talked about all year, and this is kind of a – you got to keep an eye on who's playing quarterback tomorrow. Josh Downs, Indianapolis Colts, last game – 12 targets and 8 receptions, 57 yards. That's value you really are looking for somebody that you're only getting for $3,500. Josh Downs from the Indianapolis Colts. I kind of like that play quite a bit. And I don't know. I'm not ready to tell you about River Craycraft just yet. I don't know what's going to happen with Jalen Waddle tomorrow. We'll see. But anyway, tight ends, Lyle, what do you got?
The big guys are Kelce and Hockenson. If you want to spend the money, go ahead. They're going to be great plays for you pretty much any week. I am going to try to save a few bucks, as usual. I'm going to play Evan Engram, $4,700. Right now he's tight end 4 overall, and he's just been super solid. I think he's 3rd in targets. He's getting you about 12 fantasy points, and that's without finding the end zone yet. So if he finds the end zone, he's going to get you 15 to 20 fantasy points, it looks like, this week.
Yeah. The punt play, just like we talk about. I think Lyle and I tend to agree on that when it comes to tight end. But Jake Ferguson, $3,500. 7 targets, 5 receptions, 48 yards. Can't ask for too much more than that. They are targeting him in the red zone. I always like that a lot. Dalton Kincaid has been a little bit of a disappointment on the target end of things, but you never know if there's going to be a bounce back in what could be a very high-scoring game against Miami this week. I'm laying off Zach Ertz this week at $3,200. His production has kind of tailed off, even though Arizona won the game last week. They didn't really target Ertz a whole lot. But I think there's better value with the other two guys I talked about. What are you seeing for defenses, Lyle?
One other tight end quick, Hayden Hurst. Again, oh, yeah. Carolina, Minnesota matchup, $3,300. Defense, high end Kansas City. I mean, Zach Wilson, it's a mess. $4,200 if you want to spend it on KC. But this is the one that I like, and I can't believe they're this low. Cleveland, $2,800.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best defenses in the league. I didn't know they got Baltimore, but they're not a juggernaut offensively, and they're mid-pack or maybe bottom third as far as value. So I'm taking Cleveland, $2,800.
Yeah, hard to argue that. After that week against Miami, the Broncos defense is $3,700. Why? Well, because they're taking on Chicago. So it's been adjusted accordingly. While I think that is a strong play, and I don't think it's going to be owned very much, that's still way too much money for a defense as far as I'm concerned. I do like the Patriots, though, at $3,000 against the Cowboys. The Cowboys, when they tend to start circling the drain, it gets pretty aggressive with how aggressive they start circling the drain. And of course, you're up against Belichick. I don't know if I see a bounce back game here with Dallas, especially going up against Bill Belichick. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, if you are looking for a little hardware for your fantasy football season, kind of like our Lombardi trophy here, go to westcentraltrophies.com and take a look at the great selection of trophies, awards, recognition items, things like that, maybe for your business, maybe for your bachelor party, maybe for a birthday party that's coming up. Of course, we use them for those steel mugs that we have been giving away for years here at the Loon, and how nice those things are. Everybody who grabs one of those loves it, talks to us about how much they enjoy it. Go to westcentraltrophies.com. Great local business just north of town here. And Nathan and the staff can help you out. Or give them a call, 320-235-5927. We will come back with more Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, the two-headed edition this week. Guys are all running around doing stuff, so glad to have Lyle on board with us. And it's time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Man, week one was maybe the greatest waiver wire week in fantasy football memory for me, and it just keeps thinning out. But there's still some plays out there. Lyle, start me off with some quarterbacks you see.
I think the first one people really have to pick up is C.J. Stroud. He's available in about 75% of leagues, depending where you're playing. It's volume-based. It's, I think, also based on the fact that he's played quite well despite not having really any of his offensive linemen, and they're still kind of sorting through their running game because Damian Pierce hasn't gotten started at all. So I think Stroud's a strong pickup, and if I was going to pick up someone maybe to stash, it might be time to look to pick up Kyler Murray. I know the timeline for him to come back is maybe a couple of weeks away yet, and they have gotten some decent play out of Josh Dobbs, but I think once Kyler is healthy and ready to go, they will put him back in, and I think there's upside for him to be a top 10, 12 quarterback for the rest of the year.
They showed some video of Kyler Murray, and his thighs look just shredded. He looks like he's in pretty good shape, some game shape. Yeah, and they got to put him out there. I agree with you, Lyle. They got to put him out there so that they can see what they can get for him when they either trade him or whatever they decide to do with him. I love the C.J. Stroud call. It is time for C.J. Stroud to be on rosters. There's no doubt about it. and available in that many leagues. Another name we're floating around out there is, and this is a guy you might want to stash, or if you're a quarterback streamer, Matthew Stafford's available in 65% of leagues. He's up against Indianapolis this week. Philadelphia, their defense is banged up, or at least their secondary is banged up. And then Arizona and Pittsburgh. He's got a great set of four games coming up there. So maybe you have an injury bug or something like that. And, you know, I got to say it again, why not? We still don't know what's happening tomorrow at this time. Jameis Winston, in your two quarterback leagues, he's available in 99% of leagues. Why not have a little fun, especially if you're 0-3? What do you got to lose? You know, trot Jameis out there, watch him throw five touchdowns, four interceptions. You have no idea what you're getting, but it's maybe a reason to at least enjoy a Busch Light and laugh a little bit. I don't know what to say about it. Running backs, Lyle, what do you got?
And this is where it was the hardest, I think, on the waiver wire. There weren't any big injuries and earth-shaking roster moves for new running backs to emerge. So I'm just looking for handcuffs at this point. And I think the two best you could really go for are Tajay Spears for tennis or the Titans. Mm-hmm. And he's probably available in, looks like, 80% of leagues. He got more snaps than
Henry.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yep.
Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And but I think that was mostly game script last week. Plus, Henry was battling a little turf toe injury. So I just like that he's a good one to pick up because I think he is the direct handcuff. And the same with Rico Dowdle for the Dallas Cowboys. And he actually had a touchdown last week. And I think things changed. They didn't play Pollard as much. So same kind of situation. But Rico's actually gotten, I think, 6 to 8 touches every game, even with Pollard. So it would be very interesting to see what it would look like if he got the lead role.
Yeah, I like both of those plays, Lyle, 100%. I am I'm on the Roschon Johnson train. He might be, I mean, I know DJ Moore is there, but Fields can't get him the ball. Roschon Johnson is kind of chewing everybody up, and I think up next is Khalil Herbert, and I think he's going to just get the straight-out start in Chicago. Yes, you've got a starting running back. Yes, it's Chicago, but I think the volume's going to be worthy of a flex, especially with bye weeks coming up. And Roschon Johnson's available in 63% of leagues right now. Same thing with Jaylen Warren, who's available in 40% of leagues. He's taken over, guys. He's going to take over for Najee Harris if he hasn't already. So you can get a flex play out of that. Kendre Miller did get some snaps and did get some touches. I didn't think he was going to get a single one coming off the hamstring injury and making his NFL debut. He's available in 84% of leagues, but I know Kamara's coming back, but Kendre Miller's an exciting player as well. And if you need 1 week plug and play, and don't expect much, but you'll have a starting running back, it's Matt Breida, New York Giants, available in a little over 70% of leagues. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if you're looking over your waiver wire and you see the name Jerome Ford, pick him up. Devon Achane, still available in 28% of leagues. That makes no sense at all to me. Pick him up. You know, just take a look and see who's out there right now. How about some receivers, Lyle?
Well, top of the list for me is Tank Dell. 2 big weeks in a row, he's still available in 40% of leagues. I don't think this is a blip in the radar. I think Dell's a part of this offense, and it's going to be hard to not suit him up. And then it comes down to the two receivers for San Diego. With Mike Williams out, Josh Palmer got a touchdown after Williams left that game against the Vikings last week. He's available in 70% of leagues, and I think he's the safer play. Mm-hmm. But if I think you're looking for a higher upside for a direct replacement for Mike Williams, Quentin Johnston, their first-round draft pick, who looks an awful lot like Mike Williams physically and will probably play the same role on the field. I think if you're looking for the long haul, I'd rather have Quentin Johnston and the upside. And he's available in, I think, even more leagues than Palmer. Well, it's pretty close. So both those guys are definitely available. And I think if you need a player this week, I'm going Palmer. If you need somebody for the long haul, definitely Johnston.
Yep, I like both of those. I'm trying to do the math in my head while I look at this, and I heard a stat something like this guy's average depth of target, meaning just the average amount of yards for every target he gets, I think it's like 17 yards, which is unheard of, absurd, and crazy. But his name is Marvin Mims Jr., and he is right now the 33rd ranked wide receiver. Get this, against, well, let's not even talk about week one, but week two against Washington, two receptions, 113 yards, averaged only 56 and a half yards per catch with a score. Last week against Miami, three receptions, 73 yards. He averaged 24.3 yards per catch. Yes, no touchdown, but 16.6 fantasy yards. I would have begged, borrowed, and stolen to have a couple of my receivers get 16.6 points last week. And he's out there. 88% of leagues have Marvin Mims on their waiver wire right now. So I like him. I like him as a stash play. I think it can only get better if Russell Wilson can get him the ball. Talked about him earlier. Robert Woods, well, available in 79% of leagues. Bye weeks are coming up. He's that third guy. Not Tank, not Nico. He's Woods. He's the third guy. Yep, he's the 45th ranked receiver, but there's still some gas left in that tank. Might be a nice bye week play for you. And, I mean, we're talking deep bench leagues or, you know, 16-team fantasy football leagues. Otherwise, there's not a ton out there right now. Josh Downs available in 95% of leagues or 93% of leagues. We talked about him earlier. I really think that depends on who is taking snaps in Indianapolis. What are you seeing for tight ends, Lyle?
Real quick on receivers again. I love your call on Mims and Downs. DJ Chark, too. 55% oh, yeah. On. Carolina had an injury for this rookie. Mingo is out. It looks like he's out. He had a concussion. So Chark is a good one-week pickup, especially against the Vikings. Tight ends, I like your boy Jake Ferguson, Dallas Cowboys. I think he's available in about 60% of leagues. I think he's just a solid, you know, 10 to 12 tight end. I don't know if there's a lot of upside, but I think if you're really looking for someone, I think he would be the one. And if for some reason and you're in a shallower or a deeper league and or a shallower league, excuse me, and LaPorta for the Detroit Lions is available, make sure he's out there because he's already a top five tight end. And it looks like there's more upside there with him in that Lions offense.
All right. Yes. Tight end wasteland has officially begun. You know, again, if you're a gambler and you like to have some fun, Taysom Hill is out there more than likely, 90% of leagues. He has gotten not only a couple catches a game. Of course, they have gadget plays just for Taysom Hill. He's getting the ball. He's rushing a little bit. Yes, Kamara is back. But that can sometimes unlock things for Taysom Hill when all the weapons are there. The Kamara is back. The Thomas is there. You know, Chris Olave is there. Well, that's when Taysom Hill tends to shine because he's the last guy you expect to get the ball with all those weapons on the field. So he's kind of a fun stash in a tight end mandatory start only type of situation there. But otherwise, you know, if you want to take Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz and these guys and put them all, Dawson Knox, and put them all in a dice cup and shake it out and see what happens, that's pretty much where we're at right now if you don't have, you know, LaPorta, if you don't have Andrews, if you don't have Kelsey and the big guys like that. I'm not ready to tell you that it's Donald Parham Jr. time or anything like that at this point. Yeah, some of these guys. Farrell Brown, there's another one. Not just yet, anyway. Okay, defenses for the week, Lyle.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mostly just because it's looking like it's going to be Jameis Winston. And as much as Jameis Winston is fun for football and fun to watch, he also has a propensity to turn the ball over. So I'd be shocked if he gets the start that he doesn't have at least one or two picks. So that's good for a safe fantasy football floor if you're looking for a plug and play defense this week.
I don't see even the percentage ownership for the Broncos, so I'm not even going to bring that up. I guarantee you they're probably available. And remember, they take on the Chicago Bears this week, who cannot do anything. Another game or another defense I like this week is the Seahawks. Yeah, they're the 25th ranked defense, but remember, we're looking at matchups. New York Giants, that is a total train wreck going on over there in New York. And Seahawks available in 79, 78% of leagues. I don't mind that for a one-week plug-and-play, especially if you're a defensive streamer. Lyle and I are going to come back and break down the remaining games for week four of the NFL season. It's Trenchum and Benchum time on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you miss any part of today's show, it's online at 941theloon.com or that free 94.1 The Loon app for your iPhone or Android devices. Time for Trenchum and Benchum. Let's talk about the remaining games here for week 4 of the NFL season, and let's kick it off with noon games, Lyle, Atlanta-Jacksonville.
Well, I'm honored. I get to do Jack Culbertson's Atlanta Falcons game. I think this might be like the second time I've ever got to break down an Atlanta Falcon game. So I had to do a little more research this week.
Right.
It's real simple this week, though. You play Bijan Robinson. I think he is probably the only, for sure, in the trenches guy for the Falcons. Kyle Pitts, I think on a tight end mandatorily, you drafted him high. He did have 9 targets, 5 catches, 41 yards last week. I think he's a tight end mandatory start. After that, though, I think you do have to put Drake London on the bench. There's no volume there, and Desmond Ridder is just not getting him the ball. So I'm not going to play Drake London unless you are in an absolute pinch. And Tyler Allgeier had a real strong first week, but the volume is dwindling. Robinson's taking over that role, and Allgeier just had 12 rushing yards last week. So it's a real hard play to even suit him up as a flex. I think that's all I got for Atlanta. As for Jacksonville, you got lots of guys in the trenches here. Travis Etienne is running back number 10 overall. So he's a solid RB2, if not maybe an RB1 for you. So suit him up. Calvin Ridley had a solid first week, but he's had 2 off weeks since. I'm dropping him down to a wide receiver 3, but I still think you have to suit him up. And the same with Christian Kirk. He's been the opposite. He was invisible in week 1 and had 2 solid weeks now back to back. I think both those guys are wide receiver 3s or flexes. And I also have to start Evan Ingram, probably the most consistent tight end in fantasy football right now. So those 4 in the trenches. I think in deeper leagues, you could make a case for Trevor Lawrence and Zay Jones, who missed last week. But I've got those guys on my benches this week.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, disappointing. Very disappointing last week. This is the only time on this schedule, Lyle, that we have a possibility of rain. Otherwise, everything else looks just fine right now. Jacksonville is favored.
That's good to know.
Yes, it is. Jacksonville favored by 3 points. We'll see if they can bounce back. Well, I get Miami and Buffalo. This one should be fun. Miami, if any of you maybe saw last week, they had a pretty good game against Denver. So I guess we got to ride that train a little bit. You're starting Tua. You're starting Mostert. You're starting Devon Achane. You're starting, of course, Tyreek Hill, but you're keeping an eye tomorrow on what's going on with Jalen Waddle. No idea yet at that point. Now, if he doesn't play, is Braxton Berrios worthy of a flex play? I don't know. I don't think so. You probably got better options than that. Durham Smythe, I've brought him up a couple of times. He is still running a ton of routes. The problem is he's not catching a ton of footballs. So leave him on the bench. I'm not a fan of either defense in this game, but I'll tell you why here in a minute. Over to the Bills in what we expect to be a shootout. Same thing here. Josh Allen, you're starting, of course. James Cook, you're starting, of course. Steph Diggs, wide receiver 1. Gabe Davis, wide receiver 2 or flex. Heck, why not? Dawson Knox seems to be getting a little bit more shine than Dalton Kincaid. Why not? Throw him out there in a tight end mandatory start league. The game is in Buffalo and we don't have cold weather happening yet. So after what happened last week, I'm not ready to even throw that Buffalo defense out there, even though they got you 30 points last week. I'm a little scared, a little skittish. Buffalo's favored by 3, believe it or not, 53.5 over under for those of you playing DFS. Minnesota, Carolina, Lyle.
I think I like the over on that one.
Yeah.
I would just hedge that one. All right, Minnesota versus Carolina. We got lots of guys in the trenches for the Vikings. The offense has not been much of the problem for the Minnesota Vikings this year. So you're playing Kirk Cousins, who I think is either number 1 or number 2 in fantasy leagues at this point in the season. So you're playing Kirk. Alexander Mattison bounced back, had his best game of the year last week. I think he's a safe, well, maybe a low-end RB2, safe flex for you this week. I just worry about him fumbling and losing carries to Cam Akers. It's been way too many times Madison's put that ball on the ground, whether it's been an actual fumble or an early whistle. So watch out for that. And then he got Justin Jefferson, clear start. Jordan Addison didn't have his best game last week, but I think he's still a wide receiver 3 or flex option for you. And TJ Hockenson is tight end number 1 at this point. So you're playing him each and every week. You've got Cam Akers and KJ Osborne on the bench for you if you are rostering those guys. I'm definitely not touching that Viking defense. As for Carolina, I think you just have two guys in the trenches. Miles Sanders has been a solid play. He looks like a good RB too. And Adam Thielen, I think he is their top receiver. He's getting volume. He's at least a wide receiver three, if not a wide receiver two, just because of this matchup. I expect him to at least have 15 to 18 fantasy points this week. So get him in your lineup. If you're looking in deeper leagues or need a pickup, I could flex DJ Shark this week. And honestly, if you are in a quarterback pinch, I'm not so much a fan of Bryce Young, but if it is Andy Dalton and they decide to give Young one more week to heal up, if it is Andy Dalton, I could make a case in deeper leagues, or especially two quarterback leagues, to make sure you get Andy Dalton in your lineup. Do not play that Carolina defense, by the way.
Minnesota favored by 3.5. Well, after breaking down the best game of the week, I get to break down the worst game of the week, and that's Denver versus Chicago. I'll sum this one up pretty quick. It is Chicago. Deeper leagues, two quarterback leagues, things like that. There is some value, I believe, in Russell Wilson this week. Javonte Williams is a flex play at best. All he's done is get you 40 yards a week. We were hoping he was just getting eased into that role. Well, it's been 3 weeks, and he's been pretty eased. 40 yards a week, I guess I expected a lot more. He's a flex play at best. Jerry Jeudy is, I don't know. Again, we got the Bears defense. Jeudy's getting 5 targets, 3 targets, flex play at best. Cortland Sutton, clearly the number one there. And if you're a gambler and want to have some fun and maybe your team's beat up already a little bit, it's Marvin Mims, and just see what happens next. No Adam Trautman for me this week or ever. Chicago Bears. Justin Fields, this is the last chance, my opinion, for Justin Fields this week. And send him out there against that Bronco D that just got torched. I don't like the running game. I think this might be the last game. Khalil Herbert is the number one. I think Roshan Johnson's going to start taking over, guys. So flex play at best. DJ Moore, the only thing that they've got going there. He did get you a touchdown last week to kind of salvage the week. So you drafted him to start him. Maybe try and trade him to one of your friends who's a Bear fan. I don't know. But he's a flex play at best. And Cole Kmet, tight end mandatory start. Boy, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel if you got to do it. That's something else. Denver favored by 3.5 points. Lyle, Baltimore, Cleveland.
Well, I think I got 3 for sure trenches for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, I think he's a weekly start. You're playing him every time. Mark Andrews, the same thing. I know he's been banged up and had a very, I don't know, mediocre week for Andrews, but again, with the tight end position the way it is, you're suiting him up every time. And Zay Flowers, he's had a real good, solid start to his career. I think he's a safe wide receiver three or flex. He's had 25 targets and 10-plus fantasy points each game, so I think he's a solid play there. Their running back situation is just a mess, so you're going to have to wait this one out, even just to know who's really going to be suiting up with Gus Edwards in concussion protocol, Justice Hill battling an ankle injury. I mean, it could be Melvin Gordon III. So, and then they're going up against a Cleveland defense that's giving up 48 yards rushing per game. So I probably am keeping them all on the bench just because I don't know which one of them will be getting the ball. Edwards would probably be a play if he gives it a go, but it doesn't sound like he will. So that's probably all I've got for the Ravens. As for Cleveland, you've got two guys in the trenches for sure. That's Jerome Ford coming off that 2-touchdown week. I expect more volume and more yardage this week, making him a good RB2. Amari Cooper, who had that touchdown robbed from him by a terrible official call, mm-hmm. He would have had a 2-touchdown week last week. Could have been pretty handy for some fantasy owners, I'm sure. I think he's still a safe wide receiver, too. And then in maybe deeper leagues, I could make a case for Deshaun Watson. He's had 2 good games, 1 bad. He's at QB12 overall. I've got him on the bench just because of the matchup. And then same with Elijah Moore. He's had 25 targets, but only 25 fantasy points. So I got him as well on my bench. I will say this. I will trench both of these defenses. I'm expecting a lower scoring divisional battle.
Cleveland favored by 2.5 points. I have Pittsburgh and Houston, and we can sum this one up pretty quick, too. The only value I see right now on the Steelers is George Pickens, and it is only because he's actually getting some targets. He had 7 in week 1, 10 in week 2, and 6 in week 3. Not getting you a ton. He's only got one touchdown on the year. Nothing crazy about that. Other than that, in all honesty, I know you drafted Najee Harris high, and I know we're talking about Jaylen Warren. Far as I'm concerned, those two guys are flex plays at best. I don't like Allen Robinson. I don't like Calvin Austin. I don't even like Pat Freiermuth, even in a tight end mandatory start this week, maybe against a Houston defense that is not very good. But he has no targets either, and it's just too bad. Freiermuth's targets over 3 weeks are 4, 1, and 4. He did get you some yards last week, so maybe that's okay. And when have I ever in my life said I am excited about the Houston Texans in fantasy football? Well, I guess I'm going to say it now, because I think Stroud is a play. I think Damian Pierce has a nice week this week. Nico Collins, I like him. Tank Dell, I like him. These guys are exciting. They're catching the ball, and they're doing good things. And Stroud looks like an NFL quarterback. He looks like a third-year NFL quarterback as a rookie. He's really the breakout rookie that they thought he would be. I don't even mind some Dalton Schultz. I do mind some Dalton Schultz. Don't play him. Pittsburgh favored by 3. Lyle, Rams, Indianapolis Colts.
Well, I'm going to put 3 guys from the Rams in the trenches. Kyren Williams, he had a rough night on Monday night against the Bengals, but it was mostly because Matt Stafford just could not throw a decent football to him. I think he's still a safe RB2, and you're going to be playing him most of the way now that they've gotten rid of Cam Akers. Puka Nacua slowed down a little bit. I think he still ended up having a decent fantasy night. Maybe the floor is more of wide receiver 2. I know last week you had him maybe graded as a wide receiver 1, but he's certainly a volume-based wide receiver 2. And Tutu Atwell, I think same thing. He ended up with a touchdown, and he's just been super consistent. He's gotten you 14 to 17 fantasy points every week. He's getting targets. I think he's up to 26 targets in 3 games. I think he's a wide receiver 3 at the very least at this point, and a very safe flex. Tyler Higbee as well in a tight end mandatory. I think he's checking in at tight end number 9. That's not saying much, but anytime you can get a top 10, 12 tight end, you better be playing him. Mm-hmm. As for the Colts, it looks like Anthony Richardson is trending toward returning. I know he missed week 3 with a concussion, and I think you have to play him. If you're rostering him, I think you have to play him, because week 1 he had 20 points, and he really only played about a third of the game in week 2 and already had 17 fantasy points. So he's going to be a top 12 option, I think. So you're probably going to want to play him if he suits up. I love Zach Moss. He's probably trending into running back 1 territory just because of the volume. They're not letting any other running back touch the ball. He had 30 touches or 30 carries last game, so I think you got to be playing him at this point. Michael Pittman is in the trenches. He's wide receiver, I think, number 11 mm-hmm. in fantasy football right now with 34 targets. Got to keep suiting him up. I think you could make a case for Josh Downs. He's probably more of a deep league play for me this week, but just because of the volume, I think you could make a case for suiting him up as well. But none of the tight ends on the Colts are worth rostering, and I probably am staying away from both defenses in this one.
Indianapolis favored by 1.5. All right, next up for me, Tampa Bay taking on the New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay. Golly. Baker Mayfield, 2 very good weeks against 2 very crappy defenses, and then comes right back to earth in week 3. So, in this week, I think you're sitting Baker Mayfield. Rashad White scares me a little bit. This may be the last week that he matters for quite a while. I think he's an RB2 or a flex. Mike Evans is a wide receiver. He's getting all the targets there, and it's actually pretty cool to see. He might be a wide receiver 1 this week, for sure a 2. Godwin, you got to start him. I think he's a flex play only, and no thanks on some K-Dot. And over to the New Orleans Saints. So we're not entirely certain. It's a 50-50 shot here with Derek Carr versus Jameis Winston. And, I don't know what to tell you. If I'm the gambler in me loves playing Jameis Winston, but man, you got to have real quarterback problems. I mean, I'm talking if you're still running Danny Dimes out there and some of these other guys who are just underperforming, that would be the only reason you'd put Jameis Winston in your lineup. Alvin Kamara, welcome back to the NFL. Put him out there for sure. Chris Olave, Mike Thomas, Rashid Shaheed. Olave's underperformed this year. He's a wide receiver, too. The other guys are flexes. And Rashid Shaheed is not a flex. And Juwan Johnson has been very disappointing. I apologize for telling you to go get him. New Orleans favored by 3, while Washington, Philadelphia.
Well, Washington quickly has gone from one of the talks of the NFL to back to their regular bottom-dwelling selves. Even though they're 2-1, there's not much to like here fantasy-wise. You got Brian Robinson, who really did well with his 10 carries, got 70 yards, but that's what happens when you lose by 37 points. So you got to keep playing Brian Robinson. He's a good, solid RB2. And Terry McLaurin has had a fair start. I wouldn't say I'm excited. I'm an owner of McLaurin, and I'm not excited, but I think he's still a safe wide receiver 3 or a flex. Keep playing those guys. Jahan Dotson, one of the bigger disappointments of fantasy thus far. He's gotten 10 catches for 83 yards, which is pretty much a good half for guys like, you know, Keenan Allen last week, right? I mean, I'm going to roster him. I have Dotson in one league, in fact, in the Loon League, and I'm going to just hang on to him for a little longer, but you got to be pretty desperate to put him in your lineup. Same with Sam Howell. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little Jacoby Brissett if this continues. So just 2 starts for Washington. On the Philadelphia side, you're starting them all. You're starting Jalen Hurts. DeAndre Swift looks like an RB1 now, especially now that they're giving him 20-plus carries. A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are guys you drafted at the top and playing every week. Dallas Goedert, he's tight end number 23 right now.
Wow.
But he did get 2 back-to-back games with 4 or with 7 targets. So there's a little volume there. But, man, I tell you what, I could see why you'd want to bench him, but I think he's still got to send him back out there. I think there's better days ahead for Dallas Goedert. You're definitely playing the Philly defense. And I think even in some deeper leagues, you could go with some Kenneth Gainwell as a flex option just based on how much the Philadelphia offense has been running the football. I think you could get 5 to 10 fantasy points out of him this week.
Philadelphia is favored by 8.5. The last of the noon games is mine, and that is Cincinnati and Tennessee. And Cincinnati, a nice little bounce back there. Good to see Burrow. The Q tag is off of his name. I think it's still a risk every time he goes out, but he's a gamer. And you drafted Joe Burrow, why not throw him out there? Tennessee ain't winning the Super Bowl this year as far as their defense goes, so I like this play. They looked different last week. Mixon is an RB2. Chase had a nice bounce back week. T. Higgins, you're throwing him out there too. I'm not sure I'm ready yet on Tyler Boyd, but I don't know. Cincinnati does this to us. They start slow, and then they come back and do Cincinnati things. So maybe Tyler Boyd in a flex this week. Over to Cincinnati. Boy, what's going on here? I don't have any answers for this. Ryan Tannehill I'm still not even certain why they kept him to begin with. I know they drafted Will Levis, but he's 3rd in the chain behind Malik Willis, who Mike Vrabel doesn't even like. So clearly you're not starting a Tennessee quarterback this week. Derrick Henry should be doing more Derrick Henry things, but it's not December yet. Tajay Spears is out snapping him, but I think it's because he's dinged up. I'm talking about Henry. Hopkins is banged up. Treylon Burks, I don't know what's going on there. You're starting Hopkins. Maybe Chigakwonko. God, what a hot mess. I don't even want to talk about it anymore, Lyle. Jeepers. All right. Cincinnati favored in that game by 2.5. And because we only have an hour, according to Nate Thomas, that means it's going to be Fantasy Football Foursome XL. We're going to move over to the stream at 941theloon.com, where you can find the XL portion, or on that free 94.1 The Loon app. We still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games to break down all the late afternoon, Sunday night and Monday night football. We will do it on there at, of course, no extra charge, free. We want to thank our sponsors. That's West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. And remind you, if you missed any part of today's show, again, it's 941theloon.com or the free app. And if you have any questions for us, it's the Loon text line, 320-434-1234. For Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you over on the app for more Fantasy Football Foursome.